What's up, World That's Good fam? Welcome back to the World That's Good podcast. Today, we actually, well, I would say we don't have a guest, but I guess I do have it. Okay, no more drum roll. I guess what? I do have a guest. Me and Christian are going to be answering your DMs that you sent in. Every now and then, we do this on the podcast, and it's always fun because you guys ask some really great questions in our DM box. And so every now and then,
it's fun and spontaneous.
We go through it and answer some. And so today, we're going to do that. A couple of shout outs before we do. My new devotional book just came out, Live on Purpose. So if you want a little, you know, kickstart to your day, to live on purpose and a little encouragement from the word and just kind of a guided devo and prayer, then Live on Purpose would be a great book for you to get. So go check it out. Leave a review if you do and let us know what how it impacts your life. Also, Christian and I just started a vlog on our YouTube channel.
We did.
It's actually, I guess, my YouTube channel, Sadie, but me and Christian started a vlog together.
We're co-vloggers.
So fun. And so go check that out as well. It's going up on Mondays and of course, but anyways.
Every other Monday.
Enough with announcements. Yeah, every other Monday. Christian, a lot of people always ask us what books we like, what books we're reading. And so what's a book that has really impacted your life?
Live on Purpose has really impacted my life.
Wow, who's the author?
Sadie Huff.
Did you just doubt my last name?
No, I just didn't know if I should like do like the Robertson Huff or just the Huff. Or...
Just the Huff is
okay,
good.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
No, but for real, what's a book that's impacted your life?
It's a good question. A book that I read this year that has impacted my life was The Ragamuffin Gospel.
It's good.
Yep, your mom gave it to me. It's a really powerful
read.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
It's awesome. What was it about?
It's basically about the gospel, what the title is. But the author really like dissects to just ways to share it, ways to explain it, and really just what our faith is all about. It's the nitty gritty of the gospel. And it's, yeah, it's just really powerful.
It's awesome. I have really loved reading Jackie Hill Perry's books this year. And actually, we're going through Holier Than Thou on Ella Sister App right now in our book club. And so that's one that really impacted me. Now I'm going through it with several girls. So you can always join that too if you're looking for another place to read. I think reading is sometimes becoming a lost art in our generation, and it's so impactful. Words matter so much. They carry the power of life and death, and good books can really make you a much wiser person. And so we highly recommend finding books that you love. Those are some great ones, a great place to start. I also love Bob Goff's books. Everybody Always was an incredible book. Love Does
love that book
as well. But yeah, I loved Everybody Always. All right, let's go to the next question. Are you ever afraid to be someone who speaks your truth so boldly, especially in a world where you can be canceled so quickly? P.S. Thanks for sharing your faith boldly. For me, I think there are certainly times where, you know, I'll think to myself, what I'm about to say could definitely get me like canceled in this cancel culture, but it's also like I'm willing to say it because I believe in it so much. And there are things that I'm okay with being canceled for. Like if it's Jesus, then it's okay. Like because Jesus literally says in the Bible, like if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. And so it should really come as no surprise if the world is offended by the gospel. Because that's how it was in Jesus' day. I believe that the gospel is love itself. Like the gospel is like the best thing. It's the hope of the world. It's a promise that we have eternal life. And so therefore, like even if I'm canceled by the world, I wouldn't hesitate to speak it because it's what I truly believe. It's like the hill I would be willing to die on, if you will. And so I don't really fear being canceled. But because I have so much belief in what I'm preaching, what I'm saying, I would fear more being canceled for something that people misunderstood about me. Like if they cancel me and that was like not my intention of something I said, if people like, you know, turned something or made it sound like it was something I was saying that I wasn't saying. But if it was me preaching the truth of what I truly believe, the gospel, then I would be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. There's so many things that you can get canceled for. People are getting canceled for. Things are misconstrued, misrepresented, and all those things. But I think it is comforting to know that, like you said, that you know Jesus said, "If the world hates you, it hated me first." And Jesus was canceled. I mean, point blank. I mean, he was, you know, accused of things, and people, you know, were paid money to make up lies about him. And I mean, he was ultimately brutally murdered on the cross. I think it's just that comfort that you know, there's a chance that it might happen to us. It might not. But he did 2,000 years ago. And I mean, if it does happen, it's not the end of the world. But yeah. Like you said, it is about our faith. And, you know, if that happens, then I would much rather be afraid of God canceling me than the world canceling me. So.
Yeah, I think it comes down to who do you fear more, God or man? And, like, we have to get to the point in our life where we fear the Lord more than we fear what man would say about us.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, like, we'll stand for Jesus even if it means the world canceling us. Because you know what, guys? Like, the truth is, it could get a lot worse before it gets better. Like, persecution could begin to happen. And so, you really need to ask yourself, like, where is your faith? Where is your hope? Where do you put your salvation? And if you can answer that, the Lord Jesus Christ, I think you need to continue to just... get bolder in that stance so that, you know, when the day does come where it's maybe it's not just like cancellation online, where maybe it's, you know, something worse. You want to be able to know that you can stand firm in your faith.
Yeah. Well, there's that verse that says, if you denounce me before others, I'll denounce you before my Father.
And that's what I mean by fearing the Lord more than you fear man. It's not like you're afraid of the Lord because he's mean or because he's, you know, harsh or anything like that. God is love. But at the same time, like, a good God has justice and all of those things and wrath. And so when we, you know, stand before the throne one day, we want to be able to say, like, Lord, we did everything we could. We stood for you, God. We loved you. We trusted you. And here we are before you. And to hear those words from the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant, is like the thing that we should all be, you know, running towards. Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try
try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A, to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E, .com/woe, or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
Okay, next question. What is the worst piece of advice that you've ever been given? That's a great question. A little reverse on the podcast. What would you say?
I would say going into college, it was that idea of like, it's the best 4 years of your life. Live it up. Do whatever you want. I think the back half of that is the worst advice ever. I think college is some of the best years of your life. Friendships, meeting new people, you know, all those different things. But the doing whatever you want mantra, live it up while you're young, while you can, is awful.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And
it's
a lie. Like, the thing is, college can be the best years of your life if you make it that way, but any season of your life can be, you know? Like, I remember people saying, like, that's the best years of your life, and I wasn't going to college. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to miss the best years of my life. Like, I went on to have, like, the best years of my life. And so, you know, whatever season of life that you're in, it has potential to be the best. It depends on how you live and how you choose to live through it. And so, you know, don't freak out if college wasn't the best. You know, there are more seasons of life to come. Or if it was, like, hopefully it was the best for more reasons than, you know,
the partying,
wasting it, memories that you don't even remember, you know?
What about you?
I think the worst piece of advice ever personally is when people say, like, you do you, or follow your heart, or, you know, even, like, live your truth in the context of, like, just what you believe.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes you're wrong. Like, sometimes, like, you're wrong. Or your heart or your feelings, like, don't lead you in the right way. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't just do you. Because I think that God's plan is better than your plan, you know? God's will for your life is better than yours. And sometimes, like, your heart will want to take you one way that doesn't align with what God says is, you know, the path for your life. And we have such a narrow-minded perspective of, like, our future, right? Because we can't see our future, but the Lord does. Mm-hmm. And I love in Proverbs how it talks about, what's the Proverbs? In all your ways, there's acknowledge him, and he will keep your path straight.
That's
it's
good.
Like, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will keep your path straight. Not like, in all your ways, follow your heart, and, like, it'll lead you to the right place, because it doesn't always. And so, you know, because I think back to my life, and there are times in my life where I was just thinking stupidly, you know? It's just going off of emotion and going off of highs or going off of lows. And, you know, if that was leading and that was the driver, I would probably end up in some not-so-great places. So I don't think that's, like, great advice always. And I think
that's
people mean,
advice.
Like, well when they say it. But I think if you really thought about it, it's actually really not that good of advice. Okay, best advice for someone who is healing from a breakup. How do you get through a tough breakup? Thanks for sending this in. We had two different girls send this specifically in that we saw. And, you know, I think the best piece of advice for breakups is just to know, and I say this every time a friend goes through a breakup, breakups stink, but they get you where you're going. And that's just the truth. Like, breakups can be so hard. And, you know, it's obviously not something that you want to go through. But at the same time, like, they are necessary to get you where you're going. If I was still in the relationship I was in when I met Christian, I wouldn't have been able to pursue a relationship with Christian because I would still be in that relationship. So, yes, the breakup stinks and it's sad and, you know, it has all the emotions that goes along with it. But at the same time, it frees you to be able to step into the relationship that is the one for you. And the truth is, like, you're going to probably break up with a lot of people, but you're only going to marry one, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay. It's natural to go through breakups looking for, or I guess not even looking. I don't like the term, like, looking for a relationship because I feel like you can't even, like, you couldn't even find it if you tried. Like, just waiting for that, you know, and, like, resting and knowing that, like, God has you right where you are for a reason. He has your person. And whenever it's time for y'all to get together, like, it's going to happen. And you just have to be, like, ready, you mm-hmm. know, like, yes, looking, but not desperate, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I have a fun question.
Okay.
Who is older between you and me?
Oh, wow. You just love that question, don't you?
I do.
You love it. I'm older than Christian by a whole year. My birthday is June 11th.
Actually, not a, it's like 363 days.
Yeah.
It's not a whole year.
Well, my birthday is June 11th and his is June 9th. So,
like I said, so it's, you're 2 days off.
We're 2 days shy of a year.
She's a little older than me.
You love that. Why do you love that? Why?
I don't love that. I just think it's...
I remember one time I was like, I never thought that I would date someone younger than me. And he said, well, I never thought I'd date someone older than me. And I was like, touche.
Tucci.
That was pretty funny. All right. Do you ever struggle with regret? If so, how do you handle it? I think, you know, it is easy to want to struggle with regret. I think as believers, we don't have to struggle with regret the way that the world does, because God literally, like with the gospel that I was talking about earlier, the hill I'm willing to die on, with that whole concept, just like he literally makes you a new creation like Jesus. He was crucified and we've also been crucified with Christ, buried, you know, and forgiven up for our sins, and then we come back to life, resurrected as a new creation. And so the gospel, if you're not familiar with it, like God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son, that if anyone believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. That one and only son came to earth, died on the cross as a sacrificial lamb for forgiveness of our sins. He was buried in the grave like a dead man, but came back alive and witnessed to several people and gives us hope for an eternal life. And so in that whole context is the gospel. We've been invited into that, that we get to die, you know, the death of sin. That life is over. We get to bury that and become a new resurrected creation. And so for me, like, I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. The old me is gone. It's done. And so the things in my life that I might say, like, oh, I regret that, hey, I'm made new. And also, I also know that, like, every part of my story had a purpose in getting me to where I am today and for, you know, days to come. And so I don't regret it. I think it's all a part of it. Am I sad about some of it? Yeah, I can look back and say, like, dang, like, I wish that didn't happen, or I could have handled that differently. But at the same time, like, I don't sit in regret because I know that I'm forgiven and I know that it was on purpose.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, I mean, yeah, 2 Corinthians does tell us that in Christ we're a new creation. And I do think that sometimes, you know, when, you know, you first kind of come to grips with that and you first really experience that life change moment, you know, it is easy to kind of think back at what ifs and regrets and kind of, you know, decisions that maybe that you wish that you'd hadn't done or you wish that you could reverse. But, you know, like you said, that is part of your story. And there's things to where maybe if you hadn't have gone through some of those things, that then you wouldn't be living the new life that you're living now. But even now, I mean, like, we can be in an argument or something, and I can say something, then, like, an hour later, I'm like, oh, I regret saying that.
Regrets. Like
earlier this morning, like, even, like, when you were my co-pilot, and then you weren't really co-piloting, and then I was like, where am I supposed to go? And then you're like, turn right here. And I was like, it's too late.
Yeah, but you didn't say it like that. I know. And then I said, okay, sassy.
So, like, things like that, like, oh, I regret saying that, because then it was just awkward for...
Awkward because I was like, that was rude. So yeah, there have been little moments of regrets. And I think in those moments, you have to just own it and say you're sorry. Like, let your pride fall and say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Which we're learning, because did you say you're sorry for that ever? I didn't even know you regretted that.
I was waiting for here to say it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm really sorry.
Wow. Thank you.
I'm publicly. See,
that is sweet.
Publicly apologize.
This is how you handle regret. You apologize, people, and then you move on. You got to move on. You can't stay in the past.
Do you forgive me?
I forgive you.
Thank you.
We actually did get that piece of advice one time, that saying I forgive you is actually a really powerful thing to do in marriage. So, you know, when somebody says they're sorry, say, like, I forgive you. And I think that is really powerful. And our family statement is we are the Huffs, and we are two good forgivers who build up upon love. And yeah, that's what we got to do.
Thank you.
All right. Do you sleep talk? Do we sleep talk?
You do.
No, I don't
sleep talk.
I sleep talk?
You like sleep mumble.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I mean, not like cohesive, whatever that word is. You don't like, they're not like.
Do you regret trying to say that?
Do regret trying to say that. They don't make cognitive sense. They're like.
Do I really?
Sometimes you do.
This is not just me fabricating for the podcast. Just in, I sleep talk. Wow.
You know, you sleep like murmur.
Murmur,
mumble. Oh, it's like a mumble.
That is crazy. You don't sleep talk, but you snore.
I do sleep snore.
You definitely.
I kind of like a wake snore too. I have a deviated septum, so I have a loud breathing. Half of our videos that I film, you can like hear me over the back, the whatever sound being
if
like.
If you're ever watching our vlog and you just hear, That is Christian, and I do apologize to all of your ears on the podcast
I don't see. I don't regret that. But I don't sleep dog. I sleep snore.
You know. So this week I just had to get put under to do a scope, and y'all, I was absolutely crazy whenever I came away. I don't remember. Like, I do not remember this. And I actually remember thinking, I'm not being funny right now. Why is he recording me? And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
One thing I said is, I remember the lady was like, she's drunk. Like, whenever she took me out, because I had all the anesthesia. And she was just, like, saying that as an expression. And I get in the car. I was like, I don't ever want to be drunk. This is horrible. It was really funny.
She said some funny stuff.
And I was like, this is why you shouldn't drink and drive. I can't see the road, but I wasn't driving. So I had some really good perspective whenever I went under.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Yeah. I struggle with jealousy, particularly with other girls and my friendships. Any advice? Yeah, absolutely. Jealousy is really just hurting you, girl. I mean, yes, it might hurt your friends with the, you know, out lashes. Is that something to say? Like the how you lash out, I guess it's wasted. Yeah. How you lash out. Yes, that could hurt your friends, but really it's just hurting you. I just had this podcast with DC, Dawn Cherie Wilkerson, and she was talking about how when you celebrate people, it opens you up to have a bigger and better life. But when you don't and you're just jealous, it actually makes your world so small. That was so true and such good advice. I think the best way to combat jealousy is to celebrate people well. Is if you're jealous of somebody, instead of being jealous, just say, you know what, God, thank you that she is so beautiful and that she's doing so many great things. God, I know just because she's beautiful, it doesn't mean that I'm not. And I know you have a plan for me. And just begin to pray that out and celebrate. And you might think, well, Sadie, that just sounds so hypocritical of me. If I'm jealous of her, I can't just say I celebrate her. And I actually don't think it's hypocritical. I said this in the other podcast. I think it's you telling your heart and your spirit to align with God's word, you know, to celebrate your friends, to celebrate your sisters, to love one another, to be a part of the body of Christ. And so, you know, I think the enemy would love to make you think you're a hypocrite for doing the right thing, but really you're just leaning into your conviction and allowing God to get the victory over this. You know, your friend, she might be doing great in life and succeeding well, but that doesn't take anything away from your life. And so see that for what it is, mm-hmm. and just celebrate people well. Jealousy is the root of so much sin. It's not enjoyable. It does not create good company. And it's something that you really do have to pray through and get out of your heart and out of your life. I think the Bible talks about how jealousy, like, it's like a cancer. It rots the bones. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so true. Anytime I've, you know, been jealous in my life, I have just seen it become like rotting, you know, and all consuming. And so pray through that. Get that out. It is not worth it, friend. And I hope that you can really, you know, see the victory over that. I will say I used to be a jealous person and I really am not anymore. Mm-mm. And not much has changed on the outward, you know, on my life as far as like, you know, you could look at my life back then and be like, well, why would you be jealous? You were doing this, this, and this. And maybe you can do that now too. But really the big difference is I've just anchored myself in Jesus and celebrated people more.
And you have your baby.
And I got my baby. You know, he keep me accountable and stuff. But yeah, anyways. Well, y'all.
Well, wait.
What?
If your life was a movie, what would it be?
What movie would my life be?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Honestly, like the first thing I thought of, was Frozen. And the reason why is because it's fun and it's cute, like all the stuff. And I like to kind of be more lighthearted and fun, but it also has like a really deep message attached to it. And I love the Let It Go song about how like she's overcoming fear and she's busting out. And, you know, at first she didn't really know how to use what she had in her hands. And then she tamed it for good and it was awesome. And sometimes God gives us something and we don't know how to use it and we don't know how to run with it. And then all of a sudden we start using it for his glory and for his good. And we knock fear in the face and boom. And it has a happy ending, and it's two sisters supporting each other. It's just all around great movie.
Yeah. That was good.
Do you like warm hugs?
I love warm hugs, yeah.
Do you want to build a snowman? Okay, what about you?
So mine won't be near as articulate or as inspiring or deep thought out. My first thought was kicking and screaming.
What?
Because well, so Will Ferrell is the main character. He's just a common everyday dad like myself, and he takes it upon himself to coach his son's soccer team, which I don't have a son, I have a daughter, which I feel like if something was needed, I would, you know, I would fill that void.
Yeah,
I would fill that role. Yes, and throughout the movie, he becomes obsessed with winning. I'm obsessed with winning, which is not, you know, that's not the best thing to be proud of. But I do enjoy winning. And throughout the movie, he becomes obsessed with coffee. I do like coffee. And in the end, he realizes that he took it way too overboard. And he kind of comes out of that. And then his dad's a coach of the other team, and my dad loves to coach, so it would be like a little like...
Oh my god.
It would be like a little like banter. But in the end, I think his team wins.
Are you like continuing to talk because you're trying to think of an inspirational way to wrap this up?
I'm really thinking that this could be like my life.
Wow.
Like, I'm on the sidelines. There needs to be a coach. Here I am. My dad's the coach of the other team. They're the best team in the league.
Maybe this is just prophetic.
It might be. And then throughout the whole thing, we have some friends who play professional sports. His assistant coach is Mike Ditka, who's an ex-Chicago Bears football coach.
Wow.
So I'm saying like that could actually possibly happen.
That could. That might be prophetic.
And he really loved his kid.
Wow.
I love my daughter. So
wow.
There we go.
That was inspirational. Thank you for sending in that question. That really got our wheels spinning.
I'm telling you.
I like it, babe. I like how you thought about that. I see some similarities. I really do.
And Honey kicks and screams.
She does. Wow.
Bam.
That's what we were missing.
Thank you. And it was rated PG.
That's rare. I like that.
Yep.
Good, clean,
rare,
fun. You are good, clean, fun.
Thank you. I'm good, clean, fun.
All right, Christian, what is your favorite place that we've ever traveled to, and what's a place that you want to travel to in the future?
Like, favorite place that we've traveled to together?
Hey, you can say before me.
No.
Figured it might be your favorite if
no,
I was there.
No, you said we've traveled to, so I was just making sure, yeah. Probably our honeymoon.
Cabo.
Yeah.
Hence our dog named Cabo.
But
I think my favorite place we traveled to together was Paris. That was so fun.
Oh,
so Christian and I were in London, and I was speaking at this event in London. It was so cool. Love our kind of like London family over there, I guess, if you will. And then we took a train to Paris, and it was like the coolest thing ever. And we had dinner like right beside the Eiffel Tower. It was just very romantic and very, very cool. That was before we got...
We had just gotten engaged. Yeah.
So that was a whole lot of fun. Actually, today, on like my, you know, memory of the day picture, it was us by the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
That was a really good trip.
It's just magical. And the Olympics is in Paris next time. Maybe we should go.
That is true. Maybe we should.
Can you imagine Honey in Paris?
In Paris.
And she starts talking and she's like, wee wee.
With her little like, what's that little cap?
Oh my gosh. It is so cute. Her little bonnet.
Favorite place you want to travel to? That wouldn't be favorite place.
A place that I want to travel to. If it wasn't so far, I think traveling to like somewhere like Fiji or something would be so cool.
You've been inspired by Survivor.
Bora Bora. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And you see like the glass huts and stuff.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Or somewhere in Italy, or somewhere honestly in Asia, because I've never been to Asia, like Taiwan, where Rebecca's from, or Singapore.
That wasn't where I was going, but I like that idea. Australia or South Africa.
I think we've said everywhere.
Cage diving with a great white shark is on my bucket list.
I will not be at that one. I'll be 100%. In Fiji in a glass.
No, we're going to be together. You might just not be on the boat or in the water.
I know the sharks are there, but I'm okay with not seeing them.
That would be, you know, that'd be awesome. Like being in a cage that you are going to not be hurt in.
Some people have different definitions of awesome.
That would be legit.
Awesome would be.
That would be a good vlog. Talk about content.
Look. We are vlogging, but we're not like vloggers. Like, I'm not going to put myself in a cage for the camera, you know?
Well, why not? They want it. This is what they want. This is what they spoke up. This is what the people want.
I'll stay on the boat. I'll film
you. You'll be on the shore. You won't be on the boat.
Okay, leave in the comments. Which one are you? Are you in the cage or are you on the shore drinking from a coconut? All right, who's with me? Yep.
No,
hands all up. No, hands everywhere. No, hands no. everywhere.
Who's with the sharks?
Who's with the sharks? Who's with the coconut? Thank you. Christian,
yes.
What is the most embarrassing moment of your whole life? I just like saw the embarrassment.
No, well,
like you immediately.
Well, I know what it is, but I'm like, is that appropriate for
gosh.
No, it was our spring break when I was with your parents.
Oh, it's appropriate.
But it's like super like vulnerable.
Oh, you don't have to share it if you don't want to.
Can I share like loosely?
Yeah.
So we were on.
There's vulnerability and there's transparency. Just be transparent with us.
Okay. This was the first trip I took with her family. No, second trip, but it was our spring break trip. We went on a ski trip. And I had to go to the bathroom. Very bad. Number two. And the toilet, the toilet got clogged. And then I tried to, plunge it out. And then it flooded the whole room. And then I tried to, I threw towels all over the floor to, clean it up. And then I rushed the towels upstairs to throw them in the washing machine. And then I threw Zane's clothes, who were apparently in the washing machine. So then I threw his clothes out, put them in the dryer.
But they, still had soap on.
They were still soaking wet. And I didn't know that was not... I didn't know that was... wrong.
Let me take over. So all this happened, okay? So he takes my little nephew's clothes out of the wash while they were still soapy and threw them in the dryer. So my sister came up and his clothes were but they were messed up. She was like, who did this? Who took Zane's clothes out and put them in the dryer and put all these towels in the washing machine? Who would do that? She was so mad and nobody was confessing. And she was I mean, someone did this. Why would you not tell? And John Reed and Rebecca were so mad. They're questioning everyone. No one was answering. So they asked me and I didn't do it. And everyone said they didn't do it. So we were this is really weird. There's somebody in this house that isn't being honest. So we get on the gondola because we're on a ski trip. And Christian looks at me. He's I have to tell you something. And I'm what? He's I have to tell you something. I can't tell you right now. I was what? And he's it was me. I was what? He's it was me. I did it. I took his clothes. I was why would you do that? He was it's a long story. It's a long story. And I was what? And he's I'll tell you later. He's we're on the gondola with everyone in my family. We get off. He's so I might have clogged the toilet and had to clean it all up with towels and I had to put it in the washing machine. So then it was just so funny because Christian had to tell everyone on the trip.
I was being a good Samaritan. I was unclogging it.
And a good Samaritan.
Somehow something happened to where I messed up the unclog, the situation. And then it slowly started rising and I was crap. No pun intended. That was not scripted.
This is not your typical "What That's Good" podcast. This is more of the raw and real.
Well, that was a question that someone asked us. I was just being faithful to.
No, that is the most embarrassing moment ever. That truly was the most embarrassing.
What about you?
Moment.
You're hitting on
my most
there.
Embarrassing moment ever, which that was worse than mine. But mine was a different type of embarrassment. So
what about when you peed your pants at the, what's it called? That was embarrassing.
I've had plenty of embarrassing moments. No.
I'm talking about when you at the haunted house thing when you were young.
Yes, I did pee my pants at the haunted house in front of everyone, and yes, it was visibly pee. Okay, but that was not even the most embarrassing moment of my life. The most embarrassing moment of my life is 8th grade, I made the cheer team. I was super excited that I made the cheer team.
Oh, yeah, this is pretty good.
And I was, really practicing my back handspring for the season. I was I really want to be able to do a back handspring, which I was kind of I took some lessons, but not like most girls that take lessons. I was kind of scrappy. I was I'm just going to go for it. Uh-huh. So I really was not as well trained as I should have been.
Do you regret that?
Do I regret it? No, because it's a pretty funny story.
Good job.
So I was okay, I'm going to throw my back handspring whenever they announce my name at the first football game. So it was the first football game, and they're announcing all the cheerleaders, and they're 8th grader, Sadie Robertson. And you have to step out in front of everyone, and you either do a toe touch, back handspring, back flip, whatever you can do. So I'm woohoo, go Eagles! And I step out, and I go back to do my back handspring, and as soon as I throw back, the water boy walks right behind me and I land straight on him, and we both face plant, and water goes everywhere. And it was just so funny because one of those moments that everybody's like, "Say your prayers," like, "Yeah," and then face plant, and everybody's like, "Ooh," like the whole crowd, and it was just terribly embarrassing. And that was definitely the most embarrassing. That was the most embarrassed I've ever felt in my life. Like, true feeling of embarrassment.
It wasn't your fault. The water boy should have known better.
He should have. Look where you're going, people. Look where you're going. Come on.